Welcome to the Southern Ground Podcast, provided by Alabama Extension through Auburn University. Extension educators Shane Harris and Dr. Chip East discuss seasonal lawn and garden topics, address common questions, and provide the practical solutions you want to know. Let's dig into our Southern Ground.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Southern Ground Podcast. I'm Shane Harris, and joining with me is Chip East, and we're both from the Extension Service here in Alabama with the Auburn University, and we're glad you could be part of this podcast as we are here to address some seasonal topics, answer some of the common questions we've had over the years. And as we do this recording of this podcast, it is a beautiful spring day here in about the middle of March, at least a tease of spring. And so that's going to sort of reflect in what the topic's going to be today, Chip.
Yeah, Shane, they've already been buzzing around my house. Carpenter bee.
The buzz of carpenter bees. And I saw one just a couple of weeks ago it was actually late February, maybe been the last day of February, the earliest I can remember. But when those carpenter bees come out on a beautiful, warm, sunny day, to me, that's always a sign of spring is coming, or at least a tease of spring weather is here.
Well, it is. The old bee comes with a little bit of problems, though, is a issue with that. And I remember those days of hitting those things with getting old bored and hitting them, but I actually made paddles just for the carpenter bee management, Shane, and it provided hours of fun.
Yeah, we're reflecting on our childhood. So as we grew up, we grew up in the age of the late 70s and early 80s, and so Mama always sent us outside on a pretty day, and so we got our education by learning about the flowers and the butterflies and catching and learning about the carpenter bees buzzing back and forth.
Yeah, and well, I made my nephew's paddles, Shane, so they can join in on the fun I had when I was younger.
That was called our entertainment.
Well, we didn't have the Nintendo Switch back then.
Or the PlayStation 5 or 6, whatever is out right now. We did have the Ataris, but
this was the entertainment.
The entertainment was getting outside, and I think that attributes to our career today, because we were made to go outside and learn and spend time outside and learn about the trees and the birds and the snakes and the insects. So the carpenter bees were some of those insects that you collected very easily the first time, and you learned about which ones to catch and which ones you could not catch.
Well, that's right. There's male and female, and those that have, I'll say they have a white face, if you can look, are the males, and they don't sting, so they could be caught. Now, the females can sting. They normally do not, but I wouldn't tell somebody they wouldn't sting because they certainly can.
What Chip's referring to is those males that do seem to have the white face or a white cream-type nose, are those the ones that are hovering around on the edge of the porch? They're buzzing back and forth, tend to chase a female. They're maybe hovering around a flower. They seem to be very territorial, and that's when they seem to be menacing, try to scare you off because this is my spot. They would chase other males that came in the area. But we soon learned as young boys that, hey, they're more bark to their sting, and we can catch those rascals. These carpenter bees are good pollinators, and some people mistake them as bumblebees. They're not bumblebees, but they are one of the largest groups of native bees that we have in the United States, most on the east side and the west side of the United States. But here in the deep south, they're very common.
If I could brag on them, I'll say they can pollinate, but they do a lot of damage, and it's not my favorite bee.
As I mentioned, these carpenter bees do resemble bumblebees, but they're about an inch and a half long, and they have more of a blue-black abdomen that's sort of shiny. They don't look exactly like bumblebees like we may have in other parts of the country.
Insects have three body sections. There's a head, thorax, and abdomen. The abdomen is the rear end. And on the bumblebee, their abdomen can be hairy. On the carpenter bee, their abdomen is shiny. And that's one way to tell them apart.
There's a very big distinction between where you would find them. The bumblebees, I think, live in the ground, where you're going to find these carpenter bees coming in and out of the wood or hovering over flowers.
That's correct. The bumblebees I do like, these carpenter bees are not my friend.
they definitely can be a pest.
Again, it's a lot of fun. Now, the problem is, I just thought it was fun. Well, the problem is they can do a lot of damage. And back then, I wasn't thinking about the damage they were doing to a building. And I think about it in a different way today than as a kid. And it is not something you want. We answer a lot of questions about it. It's not the easiest pest to manage.
They have the ability to bore into wood and like I said, cause a lot of sawdust, a lot of holes, and eventually some long-term damage.
Yeah, you might start seeing the sawdust to start with, and they're not eating the wood like a termite might. They're just getting it out of the way so they can make a gallery to lay their eggs. So they, if I could say the word, it's like a drill. They're drilling in. It's like a half-inch diameter hole that they drill in, and they can reuse them from year to year, too. They can drill more, but it's easy to reuse what's already there. But they'll go in, lay an egg, put some nectar there for the larva as it develops. Then they'll seal that off, lay another egg. So one gallery or one hole could have several chambers. Your numbers can grow pretty fast when you're expanding that much at a time.
And that's where a lot of them are coming out of those galleries from last year. They overwintered in there. And most of that damage is caused by the female. And then we'll see the male sometimes go in those holes, but it's the female that's doing most of the work, and it's the male that's mostly doing the hovering around to chase the females.
That's right. Again, with the damage, the bee can do the damage. They're laying the eggs in these holes, but when that larva's in there, I have trouble with the woodpecker, will come and peck into the wood to get the larva, and you think, well, that's biological control. Well, it is. But that woodpecker will do, I feel like, more damage than the bee. So we've got some added damage to the issue. And even if it's an old barn, but I certainly want it on the eave of the house or anything like that, I would want to do something about it if it was in my house.
That's where you tend to see them most often, is around old buildings. Typically, they like weathered wood. If it's painted or varnished, it may be somewhat of a turret over time. Boy, they love cedar. They love cedar houses. Talking about growing up, I remember an old cedar tree. It looked like a carpenter bee, an apartment or condo, because there were so many holes, there was so much activity just around that old cedar tree. But as you go walk around the springtime, you see them around flowers, you see them around old buildings. I've seen them drill into wooden benches, the eaves of the house, back porch, the deck. There's all kind of places. Any type of exposed weathered wood is a place for them to bore in.
And you bring up a good point. If we could paint or varnish the wood, but a lot of people don't like that. They want the natural color or whatever. But if we could paint it or varnish it, that would deter them. I'm not saying it'd eliminate, but that is one. If your porch needs painting anyway, I'd go ahead and paint it. That's one thing that helps. But there's nothing we can do to treat and then never have to treat again. So it's one, keep it painted, keep it varnished. That's important. But then we can come back with some insecticide. And a lot of the liquids that we spray, the sunlight breaks it down. I mean, that's what it does outside. So we got to retreat. Something that helps instead of a liquid is we use a carbaryl, makes a powder. And years ago, we'd called it seven dust. Sometimes you'll see seven in it, the trade name, and it might have something else in it. So just carbaryl you can still buy as a dust. That dust clings to them, and it to me works better. And if we could, I say, puff it. I've done different things. Applying it is hard. I won't lie about that. It's aggravating. It's far easier to spray than it is to dust. But if we could dust in these holes and give it a couple of days for the insects to come out or die or get it on them and spread it somewhere else, that would be very beneficial.
You mentioned it's contact insecticide. You can't just start chasing them as they buzz by with a spray can or other type of insecticide. You've got to make contact. So by putting it in those holes that's in the wood, where they're overwintering, or they're going back into resting at night, or laying those eggs, that's going to be the best place to control them.
That's going to be the best place. You know, we talked about hitting them with a paddle, and it is a lot of fun, but you're really not going to manage your pest problem by hitting them, and that's something we can do. That'd be an organic method.
Yeah, pay the kids. Hey, we use tennis rackets. We use badminton rackets. We use fly swatters, but they're typically too small. It's one of those things that you hate to eliminate them because they are good pollinators in their place, but when their population does build up, it does cause a lot of damage.
They can do thousands of dollars worth of damage, and that's the problem. And so, yes, you can swallow them, but it's going to be very difficult to get all of them doing that method.
Chip, another innovative method to control carpenter bees are these wooden carpenter bee traps that we've seen folks build and use the last few years. They sort of look like a small birdhouse, but has a tiny hole and has a clear plastic bottle attached to the bottom. It seems carpenter bees are curious about this small hole and will go into the box. But as they're looking for a way to get out, they're lured to the sunlight and they become trapped in the plastic bottle.
It will catch them. That's true. But it doesn't do a good enough job that I wouldn't treat in some other manner. Stain or polyurethane is where I'd start with. Using a dust of carbaryl, and then the hard part, Shane, you can tell them about that. Filling the holes when we're done is super hard. People have put dowel rods in. You're just wanting to block that entrance so we can put wood putty, dowel rods, cork if you have access to that. But if there's thousands of holes, we need to fill thousands of holes. And because they'll reuse the gallery, that's the only way that really cuts down on the number is to fill in these holes. And that takes a lot of time.
With integrated pest management, and we make those recommendations for regard of the pest it may be that is an issue with homeowners or farmers or even landowners, you got to do multiple approaches. So if you can go out there and use a tennis racket to eliminate them a few that way that are buzzing around the house, put the insecticide in those holes to try to eliminate future colonies being built up as she lays the eggs. Exclusion would be to try doing the painting or even having to put siding on some of your house in some places or then having to replace the wood. So with any kind of a pest, you have to do multiple methods. And even with this, you're not really going to make a big dent in the population. We've seen those controls. We've seen that had that on our own properties. Yet they come right back in large numbers the following spring, don't they?
If we do not plug the holes, they certainly will. So we need to treat and then plug the hole. And they're still coming back, but you'll have lower numbers of them. I mean, it's like fire ants or any kind of pest. We don't treat one time and never again. We don't get a haircut one day and never have to cut your hair again. It's a continuous thing that we have to manage.
Yeah, we wanted on this podcast just to address not only the control methods, but also a little of the background and biology with these carpenter bees. They're definitely the sign of spring. A favorite insect that we have, but like a lot of insects, they have their issues that can cause some problems.
I will add a less toxic alternative to like carbaryl or that 7 dust would be to use boric acid. Takes a little longer to work, but that's something that can certainly be done.
Chip, it's definitely springtime, and because the bees are buzzing, especially those carpenter bees, buzzing around the house, and unfortunately may be causing some damage this year.
That's right, Shane, and the damage can be expensive. Hope you learned something about the carpenter bees you didn't know, and if you have any other questions about carpenter bees or actually many other topics, you know, just give us a call at your local extension office. There's a lot of information online that you can look at, and we're always a phone call or text away.
We appreciate you listening to Southern Ground. We look forward to you tuning in as we dig deeper into other topics. This podcast, again, is for not only your entertainment, but for your education, as we address some of those common calls that we have over the years. As warmer weather gets here, we hope to bring you to some more deeper topics that you will benefit from listening and being part of. Chip, always great to have you. I look forward to the next podcast as we dig deeper to other issues.
Absolutely. Great to be on Southern Ground.
Southern Ground has been a production of Alabama Extension at Auburn University. Southern Ground has been a production of Alabama Extension at Auburn University.